if you're the Colorado Avalanche this morning, having had a two games to none series lead and then losing four consecutive, a good team was going home. We knew that, right? Golden Knights or Avs, a good team was going home. But if you're the Colorado Avalanche this morning, what are you thinking?
Well, you're incredibly disappointed. I mean, all you had to do was listen to McKinnon and Bednar last night to know exactly what they're thinking. You know, the good team is going home thing. These were the two teams who were right at the top of the league is right, but it doesn't make you feel any better. It's no consolation. Nobody's going to sit there and say, hey, you know, the two best teams in the league in the regular season, or two of them anyway, we're sitting there going, okay, you know, this is the second round and we've just got to understand that one of us is going home. That's not occurring here. As you said, they're up 2-0. They look to be in control of the series. They lost four games in a row. But look at the way they did it. Like game five, up 2-0, going into the third period, losing overtime. Last night, score a goal on the first shift of the game, give it up a minute later. You know, these are not ways that, you know, good teams are supposed to lose. You know, one of the things I was thinking about last night is, you know, you take a look at what do the four teams have in common? You know, maybe people argue that Varlamov is a bit outside this, but you're looking at least three of the four teams with elite goaltending. You know, Fleury is a Vezina nominee. Vasilevsky won it and has another shot at it. You know, Price is Price. And Varlamov is above average. He's very good. But the other thing, too, is at a time where, at least in the regular season, we're moving into, you know, mobile, not power defenses, we're looking at four teams that have big, strong, in some cases really skilled, but generally big, strong defenses, and they play that way. They throw their weight around. And I think it just shows you, I don't know if there's a league around where the regular season and the playoffs are more different. And, you know, people talk, okay, the officiating. I don't think it's as much the officiating as it's the mentality of the players. I really do. I argue this all the time. I don't think there's a sport around where the mentality changes in the players more from regular season to playoffs than the hockey does.
Yeah, we're chatting on our coaching group chat with UFT saying what's like the one thing you can notice about the final four teams, and it's they defend really well. Like there's no real secret. The only thing is going forward now with, you know, you're going into the semis is can you score goals? And if you look at Tampa Bay and Vegas, I think they have to be the two favorites. How do you think the Canadians will fare against the high-powered offense like the Golden Knights?
First of all, Ziggy, if I want great coaching insight, I'll listen to the Western coaching chat, okay? Not the UFT one.
All the guys are listening right now, Elliot. You just got yourself into
trouble.
They're
all listening for sure. Oh, keep going.
It's okay. You know what? I got no problem with that. We understand purple superiority. You know, look, I agree with you. First of all, the funny thing is, so as the game was ending last night, and I was preparing to go on for the post game hit, I got a call from a buddy who lives in Montreal, and you know, normally I wouldn't pick it up, but it was kind of a strange time for someone to call me, so I just figured I'd better check it. And he says to me, you know, who are you picking in the next round? I'm like, what? He goes, who are you picking, us or Vegas? And before I could even say anything, he goes, you're not allowed to pick us. And I'm going, what? And he says, you Sportsnet guys, you've been off the bandwagon. All you picked is the Leafs. All you picked the Jets. You're not allowed to pick us. You can't jump on the bandwagon now. Mm-hmm. So I just said, let me get this straight. You just called me right when I'm about to go on the air to tell me I'm not allowed to pick the Canadiens. And he goes, yes. I go, okay, if it means that much to you, I won't pick the Canadiens. But – you know, look, I agree with you. I think Vegas and Tampa are the favorites. I think they're incredible teams, one of them defending champion. But nobody gets here by fluke, right? You know, like the, before I get to the Canadians, you know, the Islanders, they're the ultimate team. They have that mentality. I never bet against the Islanders. If they're playing, I either bet them or I don't bet. Because I just think they play the same way all the time. They're committed to their identity. They're really smart and really disciplined. They believe in who they are. And, you know, they're scoring a ton. I think they're going to give Tampa all they can handle. I just think Tampa is so good, right? I don't like to bet against the Islanders, but I don't like to pick against the Lightning. I just think the Lightning are so good and so deep. Like the biggest, like they're committed to who they are too, especially in the playoffs. And, you know, I just think, you know, the Islanders, the key is they don't take a ton of penalties. The way Tampa's playoffs are going, that's the Islanders' key to beating them. As long as they stay out of the penalty box, I think they can give Tampa all they can handle 5-on-5. But what we're seeing right now is if you give Tampa power plays, you lose. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about the Islanders first is I think the Canadians in the playoffs have become Islanders light. I think what they've done is they've found an identity that works for them, and they're committed to it. They remind me a lot of the Islanders right now. They're very disciplined in the playoffs in terms of the system they play. They're committed to it. They make it very tough for you to get through them. And at behind them, they have Price. And Price has been a hoover during the playoffs. It amazes me how few good second and third chances, especially Winnipeg, got against Price. He was either smothering the puck or he was pushing it into a place where it couldn't hurt them. Or the Canadian defense was clearing it. It was excellent. And they have really high skill forwards who, the fourth game against Winnipeg, they dominated. The shots were something like 40-16. But in a lot of these other games, they were getting outshot or outchanced. But if you gave them an opportunity, Toffoli was scoring, or Suzuki was scoring, or Kotkaniemi was scoring. And I think the Canadians have committed to this, the way of playing, and they're very disciplined at it. I just look at Vegas and I'm like, holy smokes, they just won 4 in a row against Colorado in games they could and probably should have lost. And, you know, I told my buddy, it's if you don't want me to pick Montreal, that's fine. I saw Vegas last night at the end of the game as like a -450 favorite. That is a huge favorite. I think that's a little disrespectful to Montreal. But I don't think there's any doubt Vegas is the favorite in the series.
Well, Siggy was saying earlier in the program, I agree 100%. It will be fascinating to see how the Habs play, presuming it happens, when they do trail in a game in this series. Like, it's been huge
at
for
some
them.
Point in,
they're gonna
at
have
some
to.
Point in time, they're going to have to be losing.
They have not been trailing since they skated off the ice 4-0 losers in game 4 to the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, well,
that's a heck of a run, man. But and then that will bring back the narrative if they fall behind in a game early and don't come back about their apparent inability to score goals.
Well,
yeah, we know where this will all go.
Well, losing their confidence is a big thing for me. Like the fact that things have been going so well now for so many games is that once that goal goes in or the penalty kill gives up 2 or 3, or they get blown out in the first game. Like, that's what I'm concerned about for the Habs.
I don't think you lose your confidence now unless you're, like, really down. Like, I can't see Montreal lose. Like, let's just say for argument's sake they lose game one and they lose, I don't know, whatever you want to say bad is. I just don't see Montreal losing their confidence in that situation. I think they've had too much success and too much understanding of who they are. And as long as they stick to what they're going to stick to, I think they'll say, yeah, that one stunk, but we've still got Carey Price and we've been, you know, really good. I think one of the key things is, Ducharme said the other day, we're getting Petrie back. We just don't know what game it is. Well, since he said that, they're going to have 4 more days, right? So you've got to think there's a decent chance they have Petrie for game 1. I think that's really important. Obviously, he's a really good player, and I know he was on some Norris ballots this year. I think that's key, but I just don't see the Montreal, the way they've gotten there. For argument's sake, if they get blown out in game 1, I don't see them just folding over. I think they're too good and too strong for that.
With Elliot Friedman on Leadoff Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So circling back to Colorado, because when teams lose in the playoffs, then it's mm-hmm. the postmortem and what comes up. They got a couple of UFAs, but the one who obviously stands out is Gabriel mm-hmm. Landeskog. Where he's their captain, heart and soul of the team, et cetera, et cetera. Very good hockey player, needless to say. How do you think that all plays out?
Well, I always like to say, okay, let's look at the biggest contract and move from there. I actually think the biggest decision they probably have is Makar. Not that he's going anywhere, but in terms of what the number is going to be, right? Like if you're doing long-term for Makar, I think that's a really big number.
Eight?
So the what's that?
Eight a year?
I think that probably.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on what the player asks for and what the team is willing to do, I mean, I think if you're doing 8 years for Makar, you could consider the possibility it could be there. Absolutely. But so I think the biggest question that you're looking at is, okay, is Makar short or long? And if it's long, what's that number? I think the Avalanche would love to do term. But like I said, it's a big number and affects everything else you do. I think there's a lot of loyalty to Landeskog, obviously. I think they consider him a huge part of their team, obviously. I think that he's a huge priority for them. But I look at their salary structure, and I know, and also don't forget McKinnon's coming up soon. So I think the two biggest numbers on their salary structure are going to be McKinnon and Makar. So I think that, like, unless Grubauer is really willing to take a haircut, I don't know how they can make it fit. But I think Landeskog, I have no doubt they want to sign him. I have no doubt they want to give him everything they can possibly give him. I think that he's like going to be like Hyman in the sense that he probably gets more on the open market than he gets in Denver. But I think the biggest questions are, what do they think the numbers are for Makar and McKinnon?
Is there any level of frustration in Colorado's organization similar to Toronto in the fact that, okay, we should be winning it and we're out again in the second round?
Yes, there has to be. I mean, look, like I said, if you listen to McKinnon last night and you listen to Bednar last night, that's exactly what they're thinking.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're thinking. And, you know, I don't know if there's – I don't know if disrespect is the right word, but I heard Vegas – like if you listen to Peter DeBoer early in the series, he had a quote saying, you know, we know how to beat these guys. We're going to be okay. And it was I think to be successful in the playoffs, Mike, and you played and now you coach at a very high level, you need that arrogance, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have that, like, it was such an arrogant thing to say, but they backed it up. And yeah, I think you need that arrogance, right? And I think that's a big part of who Vegas is. Like, I know, like, there's a lot of like, yeah, we're in our fourth year. Who gives a bleep? We're going to beat you. But the thing is, I think they knew that they could. I think they really did believe, obviously, that they could do it. And, you know, I think Colorado is going to be looking at this going, you know, this one's going to hurt. And, you know, like I said, I think the one thing I'm looking at, and I'm really trying to be careful with small sample sizes. I realize the playoffs have a bit more randomness, but the thing is, I don't like it when people say like the Billy Beane way of the playoffs are all luck. I really hate that. I think it's people taking themselves off the hook. I think in a 4 out of 7 series at the level of compete level, the way Stanley Cup playoffs are played, I don't believe it's all luck. I believe that there is a big part of it that is will. And I don't think, you know, 4 out of 7s, I don't think there's very many flukes. I think generally the team that deserves to win wins. And I'm looking at, again, the way that these defense corps are built on these teams that are going to the Final Four. And I just think of the way the playoffs change, and I sure Colorado is thinking about it like Toronto is. It's like that, you know, hey, we have really good and talented players here, and we're a really good team, but do we have to find a bit more of that edge that you need in the postseason? They traded Ian Cole this year. It wasn't something they really wanted to do, but it was something they felt they had to do for their roster. You know, Eric Johnson was hurt. I think Eric Johnson's a big part of the culture of that team. I wonder if they had one, if not two of those guys. I mean, like, you know, if, you know, like, I know it's a lot of ifs, and it's not why they lost, but I wonder if they look at that and say, boy, like, maybe one or two of those guys would have made a difference. And I think a lot of teams are going to look at this and say, you know, hey, do we have, quote unquote, a regular season blue line or a playoff blue line? And does that matter for us?